You're listening to
Dark. You got a 2 o'clock and 5 minutes, and then
fucking sober.
Another 2:30.
The last episode of season 2, Betsy, episode 8, day 90.
Okay, this should take about 5 minutes.
Oh, okay, Dirk. Are you sure it shouldn't take maybe a little bit longer? You can take your time, Dirk, and go slow. There's really, truly, no need to rush it, Dirk.
I can't stop saying his name for some reason. It's either the ridiculousness of the fact that I'm getting a tattoo, or the ridiculousness that I'm about to get a tattoo from a man named Dirk.
You're a virgin?
Excuse me?
He's asking if you have any other ink.
No other ink, thanks.
Don't worry, sweetie, you're in good hands with Dirk.
Why did I come here? Is this place even clean enough? The Yelp review said this was the most sanitary, reputable tattoo parlor in the greater Boston area, but I'm not so sure.
You have an appointment?
I look around at the clientele on the tables in the large open room. People are sprawled out on metal tables throughout this large room, fluorescent lights illuminating the sterile floors and walls. This overweight, bearded man laying beside me, getting a tattoo on his bicep. We're all just getting permanently marked up, inked forever. Like it's no big deal, right? To be honest, I would have expected curtains and privacy. But
Dirk, you want your horoscope?
I guess it seems like there's a sense of camaraderie to the experience. I'm not sure I can get on board with this whole group party, though. Or can I?
Okay, you ready?
I suddenly feel dizzy. I'm sweating across the top of my lip. Am I allowed to tell him I'm not ready? Can I just walk out and leave? How many people have actually done that before? I think back to my conversation with Matt last night.
You know, people are going to wonder why you got this. You ready for that?
He says, staring at my naked wrist.
People are always going to be asking what it is. You know, it will be a conversation starter for the rest of your life. Just something to think about.
Are you ready?
Did somebody order Chinese? Anyone order Chinese?
I would never have thought I'd be here in this position 3 months ago or a year ago. And by this position, I mean celebrating 3 months of sobriety and also getting a tattoo. I take a deep breath. I flinch when he rubs my wrist with gauze over the purple stencil outlining my future tattoo.
You okay?
Yeah, sorry.
Here we go, sweets.
The pain and the pressure of the needle is sharp and burning, but it only lasts a brief moment.
Oh, okay, that tickles.
Wow, I really thought it would hurt, and it doesn't really hurt. Okay, that hurt a little right there. Oh, fuck. Okay. Yeah, it hurts a little. I try to distract myself with some of the display pictures on the wall. Faded illustrations of roses, eagles, jaguars, and one naked mermaid with long hair and very large breasts who is staring right at me. I wonder who gets these. I look across the room at the fair-haired, freckle-faced girl lying on her stomach on the table opposite me. She's getting some sort of inscription tattooed on her neck. She appears to be asleep. Suddenly aware Dirk hasn't asked me, I say,
I stopped drinking 3 months ago. Today is my 90th day of sobriety. People tend to make a big deal out of 90 days for some reason, so I feel like I need to mark this occasion.
That's 3 months, right?
Yeah.
It's not a whole lot of time in the span of things.
When God opens a door up, they can't lie. What does Dirk even know? Not a whole lot of time. Is Dirk kidding me? My whole life is different.
Poppy, do you have your leotard?
Take literally yesterday.
Poppy, let's go now.
Okay, mommy. Don't yell at me.
I look at my watch and notice that we needed to be there 10 minutes ago to get a good parking spot. Now we'll have to park in the upper lot and walk down several flights of stairs, making us even later.
Briggs, Connor, let's go, boys.
Shoot the dog.
Did anyone let Bauer out?
Mom, I'm old enough to stay home. I don't need to come.
I want you to come and watch your sister's dress rehearsal. How often does she come and watch your hockey games?
Mom, I don't want to go either.
That's enough. Get your butts in the car now. Now, no complaining. After running a red light and lots of yelling on the way there, we showed up to the dance studio 10 minutes later than I had planned.
Mommy?
The parking lot, both the upper and lower, were completely empty.
Mommy?
The kids looked at me.
Hold on.
I hopped out of the car, and sure enough, the studio was locked. It turns out, I got the day wrong. The rehearsal was scheduled for the following week, and I had totally botched the whole thing. Oh, no, no, Poppy. The flyer on the door says it isn't until next week.
Oh, Mom, you dragged us all the way here for no reason? What the heck?
You ran a red light, too.
I ended up taking all the kids out for ice cream to apologize for my royal screw-up. As we sat around our milkshakes and brownie sundaes,
Mommy made a mistake.
Ice cream dripping down their chins.
I'm sorry for yelling at everyone. I just got so anxious, and it came out as yelling, which is not cool.
It's okay. It was a mistake. Nah, I don't care now.
Yeah, the yelling is not cool.
In the past, I would have left the dance studio, gone straight home, and cracked open a bottle of wine. I would not have taken the time to apologize or admit that I had made a mistake. I would have only wanted to escape as fast as possible. The embarrassment of having one job and somehow still messing it up. What I realize now is that my one job of being a mom is actually like a 15-person job if it were to be done perfectly.
I know. I'm sorry.
My children smile back at me.
Gotcha!
Okay, sweetheart. You are all done.
Oh, okay.
I glance down at the word on my arm. It is really big, much larger than I had anticipated, and it is so dark. Dread fills my stomach. What have I done? Fuck.
I love it.
I hop off the table and walk to the full-length mirror. All I see is the word on my arm, staring back at me.
Cool. What's it say?
Free.
Free from what?
Freedom is the will to be responsible to ourselves. Need be.
Cool.
I look at my long arms hanging down beside me, and I appear small, young, all of a sudden, just a little girl again. I feel so fucking stupid. I walk through my mudroom door with the new ink on my wrist. It's wrapped up, and I hope that no one asks to see it. Ever. They're at the kitchen island, quietly playing some sort of board game.
Mommy!
Mom! Let's see the tag!
Yeah, I want to see!
Okay, I guess maybe I can't hide it forever.
Okay, hold on. Calm down.
What's with the theatrics? Let's see it.
I can already see the look on Matt's face. He'll probably give me a fake smile and say something positive, but the kids won't be able to hide their feelings. That's the good thing about children. They're like little vials of truth serum.
Ready?
Yes, ready.
I turn my back to them and peel off the saran wrap, cleverly called Saniderm. I hold up my wrist, and my family stares back at me.
Mommy, I love it! I want one too!
That's badass, Mom.
Wait, really?
It's so neat, Mom. I like how dark the writing is.
I look at my husband, and he has a kind, genuine smile.
You guys like it?
Yes!
Was it worse than the flu
did
shot?
Did it feel like a bee sting?
How much did it hurt?
It really was not that bad. It was so fast.
Mommy, what does the word say? I can't read.
It's too flowy. I can't read it either.
What is it
say? It's in cursive, so it's a little hard to read. It says...
Free!
Yeah, that's right, Briggs.
Free. Cool.
I love it. You're so brave, Mom.
As Poppy hugs me again, Briggs sits down on the stool at the counter. He is quiet and looks at me warily. I can tell he has something on his mind, but he also isn't saying anything. I wrap my arm around his shoulder.
What's up, B? You good?
At this point, it's just Briggs and I at the kitchen island, the TV on in the next room. Briggs hesitates and smiles.
Hey, your tattoo. What do the four little dots after the word free mean? We are
family of stars. I got one dot each to represent you, Connor, Poppy, and Dad.
And the free? Were you trapped by something?
There's a sudden worry in his voice, as if he's partially responsible for trapping me.
Could we have helped you?
I look at my 13-year-old with his serious eyes and see more of an adult than a child.
No, sweet boy. So, you noticed how I stopped drinking alcohol, right?
Yeah, I noticed.
Do you know why?
Why?
It made me feel gross. I guess I sort of realized that it was because drinking made me feel bad. When I was sad or mad or frustrated, I drank alcohol, hoping to feel better. It made me more sad and more mad and more angry, more stuck.
Wait, how can alcohol make you feel trapped? It's just like a drink that tastes bad. It's not like it gives you superpowers or anything.
When you're an adult, so many questions go unasked, out of politeness or not caring or not knowing. And here is Briggs asking the simplest question. So I tried to give a simple answer.
You know how Poppy used to believe there was a monster under her bed? And she needed to sleep with the hall light on.
Yeah, she got so scared after that movie. We had to keep the light on for, like, months.
Before the movie, she didn't believe in monsters. And one day, for no real reason, she couldn't get into bed without doing this whole ritual, all because she had scared herself.
I made myself believe that without monster checks, something bad would happen. So I needed to do them every night.
Then she started doing like two or three checks a night. It was crazy. And then you remember she made us all do it?
Right. And then one day, Dad had to go away for work, so he couldn't do the check with her. I thought for sure she would be just a wreck. And the first night, she was.
And then I didn't want to do them anymore because they made me feel even more scared.
But the next night, she did the monster check and then got into bed and fell right asleep.
Thank God, right? That was so annoying.
No, Briggs, that was brave.
So I had listened to the part of me that always knew there was no monster. I had made up the thing that had scared me.
I mean, soon after that, she stopped doing the monster checks at all.
Huh. So, what you're saying is... You felt stuck drinking alcohol just how Poppy felt stuck in her monster checking routine? Like you felt like the alcohol kept you safe even though it really didn't? And then you realized you didn't even need the alcohol to make you feel better, like Poppy didn't need the hallway light to make her feel better. Oh, you realize now that you can do things without alcohol. And you probably always could. So you're free. But like free to be you. We are
a family of stars. This kid is going to do so well on his SATs. Freedom is the will to be responsible to ourselves.
I like that.
Nietzsche. And Dirk.
Who's Dirk?
Hey, Betts, where are you?
Yep, one second, I'm coming.
We're thinking about lunch. Anything calling your name?
Briggs is jumping up and down, mouthing and praying for one word. Pizza?
Sounds good.
Yes! Oh, yeah.
We hug, and there are a million things I want to say, but I don't.
Hey, Mom. I'm proud of you for finding you and stuff.
I turn around to watch Briggs exit and get ready to leave when I catch my reflection through the hallway in the mirror above the bar top. I look down and see Bauer as he rubs his face against my shin. Over the last 3 months, Bauer has changed a lot too.
Hi, bud.
Well, he's grown a lot. Is there a difference? Hey, Matt, I'm just gonna take Bauer for a quick walk. I'll be right back. The sun shines down on my face and it feels good. As I hold Bauer's leash, my new tattoo sneaks out of my sleeve with each tugging me forward. Free, free, free. I am no longer the mother who sneaks around and lies. I'm not stealing off to the neighbor's house for a glass of wine, lying about where I'm going. Today and every day forward, I am here for my children. I am present. I am not afraid to feel the good, the bad, the scary, to experience it all, every day. And maybe just like Matt said, maybe one day I will write that book.
Betsy?
I look up and see Clara on her porch, and beside her sits Tiffany. They each have a mimosa in hand.
Oh, hey, Clara.
Hey. Hey, girl.
Hey, Bets.
Hi, Tiff.
They look down at the pale orange liquid in their hands and exchange a look.
What are you doing? How have you been? It has been forever.
Oh, great. Are you ladies both doing well?
I am struggling with this yeast infection.
Yeah, we are.
Infection?
We stand there awkwardly looking at one another.
Okay, I gotta go back to Matt and the kids now. We're getting pizza.
Aw, yum. That sounds great.
Cool.
See you soon.
I wave to the ladies and turn and walk back to my house, and I feel a huge sense of relief. I'm actually relieved not to be drinking that mimosa. I suddenly feel badly for both of them. What about 4 p.m. is so scary that you need a glass of wine to get through it?
God.
I can hear Clara and Tiffany laughing on the porch behind me. I wait for the hurt to hit. The realization that my friendships with these two women might be over. But before I can even feel the pinch.
You ready to celebrate?
Mom,
oh, come on, Mom!
Ring the alarm! It's pizza time!
Bauer, come here, boy! Come on, Bauer!
I am able to feel a comfort in the unknown that lies ahead. Not because I'm a totally new person in 90 days, but because I've finally given myself the space to get to know myself. To even be brave enough to share myself. To try to put it all into words so I can continue to grow. Good and bad, but always present. As a mom, as a friend, as a wife, as a writer, and, you know, as me. Thank you for listening.
Fuck you, I'm sober now. Turning my life around. Maybe you might not like it, but I'm wearing it like a crown.
It's been 3 weeks.
You just listened to our final episode of Season 2, Betsy. Fucking Sober Season 2 is written by Kimberly Kearns. Story development by MJ Hova, Dylan Heap, and Katie Mack. Fucking Sober is associate produced by Maggie Stickers and Brianna Janae. Executive produced by Katie Mack and sound design by Katie Mack. Just a reminder that every single person that touches this project has their own story with recovery, because we do recover. This episode features music from Jessica Wilde, Francis Lung, John Jeremy, Judah Kim, Katie Burke, Ann Heaton, Matt the Electrician, Natalia Zuckerman, and Pop Buchanan. Betsy is played by Kate Siegel, Matt by Otis Gray, Briggs by Brian Fitzgerald, Poppy and Connor by Sox Whitmore, Clara by Brooke Robichon, Tiffany by Courtney Halford, Dirk by Philip Vitella, and Marley by Katie Mack. It is a little unbelievable that we made another season, but we could not have done it without you. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you for donating throughout this whole season. There are no dues or fees to listen to our podcast. We are an indie podcast. We make this on our cell phones and in our living rooms and on our lunch breaks. Thank you so much for supporting the art that we make. If you want to see another season,
please consider making a donation. You can do that. Like, even right now. You can go to Venmo, FCKING Sober Podcast, and or find us on PayPal on our website, FCKINGSoberPodcast.com. We know alcoholics and other people like us like to give our opinions. So consider writing a review at Apple Podcast or Spotify. And go ahead and smash that 5-star button. That stuff really helps. You can also keep up to date with what we're doing and our next season by following us on Instagram, FCKINGSober90_podcast, and TikTok by the same name. Fucking Sober is not aligned with any recovery groups or organizations, and the views and sentiments expressed here are only those of the protagonist. I just can't believe we did it a second time. Thank you for listening. And thank you for helping us to stay sober. One day at a time.
You know, on our first date, your mom wanted to order pineapple on pizza. That was almost it for me. If you ordered that pineapple pizza, you two never would have been born. There you go. If you need more improv, let me know. I can do it. Bye.